What we want to talk about this morning, of course, is from the book of Proverbs, what sometimes is called the worthy woman, or I'll prefer to use the title, the ABCs of womanhood, of what a good woman is to be, as we look at the text here. And we don't see it because we don't read Hebrew. Well, I don't read Hebrew. I don't know if some of you guys read Hebrew, but I personally don't read Hebrew. But there are 22 verses in the text. And what you have is actually an acrostic poem. In other words, if you would say A is for abounding in labor, or B is the beauty of heart, or C is a caring woman, it's that type of thing that is what's going on in this text here in Proverbs chapter 31. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and it's like in Psalm 119. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but if you'll just flip back there just for a second, in Psalm 119, there are 176 verses, and they're divided up into 8 verses each section. And if you notice there in the beginning of Psalm 119, it says Aleph. And you'll see the Hebrew letter there, Aleph. And then you drop down to verse 9, the letter Bet. And then you drop down to verse 17, the letter Gimet. And it's got the actual Hebrew letter there to the side. And what you have is the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in the Psalm 119 as it's divided up there in those 22 sections. And what you have in Proverbs chapter 31 is the Hebrew letters are used in each of these 22 verses. And of course, in our alphabet, we have 27 letters. Wow, I see, as you're paying attention there, we only got 26 letters. I heard people, what, 27? We got 26 letters in our alphabet. And it's like, as we suggested, you know, A is for this, B is for this, C is for this, D is for this, etc., etc. And that's kind of what you have here in Proverbs chapter 31, is that A, or Aleph, is for this, and B is, Beth is for this, etc. And that's kind of what we have, sort of an acrostic type poem here in this wisdom literature. Now, when you look at all these various qualities of womanhood that are described in Proverbs chapter 31, as you notice with most women, as with men and various other people that in various vocations, it's like some people excel in some areas better than others. Some are stronger in one area as opposed to another area. For instance, if you'll notice there in verse 22, it says, she maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. It's kind of like my wife down here. She is always dresses very nice and very neat and appropriately. Or if you look there in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And I was just noticing her as she was speaking to various people and say kind and helpful things to folks. She excels in that. But if you notice there in verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Well, she's pretty weak on vineyard planting. That's not her strong point. In fact, I don't know if she's ever planted a vineyard. She used to plant garden till a few years ago when we were out there in the garden, and she saw a snake, and that was it of her gardening experience. She plants flowers sometimes, but gardening is sort of out of the question. But the point is that some things, some women, they excel in certain areas, and some excel in other areas. And I think maybe what we have in Proverbs chapter 31 is just the ideal woman in all areas that are described. And just because I may not be strong in one area, well, I might be strong in another. It's kind of like people who preach. Some people are very good and very strong in personal work. And then some are very good in standing and delivering a lesson. And some are excel more so in teaching a Bible class. Some excel in the area of visitation. And just because one is strong in one area, maybe not as strong as another, it's not a slam, it's just that's the way people are. And so it is with women. Some are stronger in some areas as opposed to others.
but certainly gives great qualities of what good women ought to be. God-fearing servants of the Lord, concerned about their children and their husbands, etc. And that's what's described when we look here in Proverbs chapter 31, the ABCs of womanhood. And that's how we'll address the topic and another one of the great themes in the book of Proverbs. All right, we begin there in verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Well, what it's saying, that a good woman is certainly, a virtuous woman is certainly of great value. I mean, you find some doozies in the world. It's kind of like what we're talking about in that brief announcement. I mean, some people, they just do some crazy things and just can create a lot of heartache and hardship. And there are things worse than being single. And that is getting hooked up with somebody that just does crazy stuff. And so people like Zach Miller and Stephen Brown back here, take heed. Or Old James, be sure you hook up with a good one. Just don't hook up with anybody just because there's something worse than being single. And that is getting hooked up with somebody that's not a virtuous, good woman. And so look for one that is virtuous. And so he says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And I don't know about you, but I like rubies. I think they're beautiful stones, just big red rubies. They're just gorgeous and they sparkle, and of course they're very expensive and of great value. And that's what he's saying about good women. They're valuable, and we need to realize that. Alright, verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Well, it's somebody you can trust. You're going to trust with the checkbook. You're going to trust her with the children. Trust her with the household, and she's competent, trustworthy. That's important. I tell you, you get somebody that you can't trust, you got problems. Somebody you can't put confidence in, you got problems. You get in a business and you got a partner you can't trust, You probably need to get out of that business relationship and find you somebody else, or just go it alone. And we all see that in everyday life, to have trustworthy, competent people. You board an airplane. Well, you're hoping you're going to have trustworthy people sitting up there in the pilot and co-pilot seat. Well, when you enter into a relationship as husband and wife, you want to have people that you can put trust in. And of course, that goes both ways, whether you're a young lady looking for a man or a man looking for a woman. Find somebody that's trustworthy and competent. It says, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Not going to be able to have no need to go around looking for somebody else. She'll be there to be his helpmeet. In verse 12 it says, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She recognizes it's going to be a lifetime commitment, and she's going to just simply do him good. Now, she might err in her judgment. She might come short, just as the man might come short. But the intention is they're always going to try to do good. Not going to try to do any evil. That's the way love works. As Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is that you rejoice in good, not in evil, that you want to do good. And so it is with a good woman, is that she's always trying to do good. Not going to try to do harm or hurt, but always has the best intentions and what's best for her family. And then notice verse 13. It says that she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. All right, wool and flax, you have to understand and transpose back to Old Testament times, or even to the frontier days of our country. And that is where you had to do a lot of handwork, a lot of on-hands type of activities. And that's what the meaning there about wool and flax, of making your thread, making your cloth, your garments, etc. But what is to be emphasized there in verse 13 is that she worketh willingly with her hands. It's just whatever it might be, whatever time, whatever situation, whatever place, is people who are willing to work. Somebody's not going to work It doesn't make any difference whether you talk about Old Testament time, you talk about New Testament time, you talk about living in Rome, you talk about living in Japan or living here in Kentucky or wherever it might be. Somebody's not willing to work in the circumstance that they're in. You've got trouble. But this good woman, she is a willing worker. She's going to use her hand, whatever it might be, whether she's running the dishwasher or she's going to look for bargains for clothes or whatever it might be, or mending clothes, whatever it is, to provide and take care of the needs of her family, and is not afraid to work. A willing worker. We've got a society where a lot of people they just don't like to work. They're just lazy. They don't want to put their hands and roll up their sleeves and do anything. They just want somebody to give to them and not do anything. But here we see this good woman is willing to work. Notice verse 14. She is like the merchant ships and bringeth her food from afar. It's the idea of the meal plan. It's kind of like there's some things that have to be imported in countries that you live in, and that's pretty much true all over the world. It's like if you live in the Philippines, certain times of the year, you just go out and pick your mangoes. But if you live in Kentucky, you have to go and wait for a merchant ship to bring in the mangoes. Or if you want watermelon, well, they're going to have to come from afar until about August, and you just go out to your garden and pick one. But that's the ideal, that you're willing to go out and to barter and to be involved in the meal planning and thinking about the provisions for her family is described there. In number 15 it says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat or food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's sort of the domestic engineer of looking after the children and dealing with the family and the husband and all the needs, of being the engineer and the mastermind, as Paul would say, to guide the house in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's her big responsibility there of seeing to those types of things. And if it calls getting up early, okay. If it calls us staying up late, well, okay. She's wanting the best for her family. That's her mindset. And then notice as we continue on in verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. And I think the point is that she's industrious. She's going to use whatever in the situation and circumstances one finds themselves in, that's what they're going to do. Being involved being industrious in whether it's buying fields or planting vineyards or gardens or canning vegetables, whatever it might be. An industrious type person, somebody that's willing to work and be involved. And then number 17 it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I mean, you kind of see in various ways, in various figures of speech being described here in the ABCs of womanhood, what I see, she's willing to roll up her sleeves. And that is to be a worker. To gird her loins with strength and strength of her arm. And not just to sit around as a doll on a shelf and that's the totality of her responsibility. She's willing to work. And get in there and be involved, whatever it might be that needs to be done around the house and taking care of kids and all those types of responsibilities that come. Continue on now in verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She sees her value. I mean, sometimes people don't see any value of being a good woman, of being a domestic engineer, of being a good wife, or being a good mother. They just think that somehow that's a demeaning role in society. But in God's estimation, to be godly, to be a servant of the Lord, to be good and kind and look to the needs of her children and to be a good wife, she sees the value. She sees the value of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great Christ, as Peter would say. And that's the point the Hebrew writer is trying to make. She sees the value of what she's doing, what she's trying to be as a wife, as a mother. Her candle goeth not out by night. She is concerned about family and the needs of her family. Verse 19, it says, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. That was involved in the weaving of material of the spinning wheel, those types of things there. Well, what's the point? You see quite a bit of overlap. She's a busy bee. If you've ever watched bees, they're workers. You don't see some of them over there with their laying wings folded just, you know, snoring all the time. I mean, they're just busy, and they're moving around the hive and working and going out getting nectar and bringing it in to create the honey. And well, they're busy. And that's kind of the point that you see. And you see kind of a common thread in many of these things, just stated in different ways. She layeth her hand to the spindle and her hand to the distaff. Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, and she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Kind of like you think about Dorcas. She was busy about making garments and giving to the poor, to the needy, to the widows, to be generous, to be kind, to think about other people, not thinking about just me, myself, and I, but to think about there are other folks out there to be mindful of. I know that's one of the things that Kathy's tried to do with the kids at church and around holidays and different times, to try to impress upon the children, so what would you be thinking about? You know, people down at the nursing home or the widows and other folks that have need. And not just get wrapped up in self or around the holidays in December of just getting presents and getting and receiving and getting and getting and getting, but hey, let's think about, you know, other people that they have needs. And be generous and be kind. And that's what the writer speaks there in verse 20. In verse 21 it says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now, if you live in a place where you don't get snow, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, the point is to make provisions. If you live in a tropical zone, you may have a dry season. Well, you've got to make preparations for dry season. The part of the world we live in, we may get some dry spells, but we don't have a dry season where it's dry for like 4 or 5 months out of the year. Or a rainy season where it rains almost every day for about 6 months out of the year. And we live in a place where we get snow, other places they don't. But the point is that she has some foresight. Based upon whatever it might be, if it's a place where you get snow, you have to make provisions for that. And that's what you see in that text. She's one who tries to use foresight and a little planning ahead. And then in verse 22, it says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. There's not some sort of virtue in being some sort of slob. It doesn't mean that you always have to dress to the like you go into a wedding all the time, but the point is that she's well neat and groomed, those types of things. Sometimes you've got work clothes on when that calls for, but she's concerned about her outward appearance also. In verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he setteth among the elders of the land. Well, to set among the elders of the land, she made a good choice in getting a good husband. She didn't get scared and say, well, I'll just take whatever man comes along. No, she was looking for a good man, so she looked for to make a good choice. Not just the first fellow that comes along, just to get away and to say, I'm married. No, he sets among the elders, so he'd have to be a good man. In verse 24 it says, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She runs profitable businesses and concerned about the general welfare of her family, herself, her husband. And then you notice there in verse 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. Strength and honor are clothing. Spiritual garments. Fortitude. Being honorable, not dishonorable, not doing dishonorable things. Being some sort of pathological liar. No, but to have one that has honor and spiritual strength to stand on principles of truth and righteousness. And that goes, of course, generally, many of these things really just apply across the board for everybody. I mean, they're great qualities all of us should possess. Hands that are willing to work, not to be lazy. Having spiritual garments of honesty, of integrity, of hard working. You know, those types of qualities. Concerned about the needy and those that are less fortunate. I mean, these are qualities really all of us should be striving for. Notice in verse 26, it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In Proverbs, it says, the heart of the righteous studieth the answer. It's real easy to kind of let our flesh take over in a tense situation, and we just blare out and just say things that ought not to be. But no, if we're going to have a wise tongue, it's like, well, let me think about that for just a moment now. And is this going to be kind and beneficial, going to be truthful and going to be helpful? And so she opens her mouth with wisdom to look to speak appropriate, beneficial things, things that are going to be helpful. The ABCs of womanhood. And really, a lot of these things, just ABCs of being a godly individual, a servant of the Lord. Number 27, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She thinks about her household. She's not sitting around idle. She's not sitting around watching soap operas all day. She's not just never thinking about anything, just being lazy and say, well, you know, the husband needs to be provider, and that just takes care of that, and my job just sit around and look nice. No. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. There's a great lesson. All of us need to be workers. We're willing to work. As there's time to rest, of course we've got to rest. Jesus chastised the disciples there in Mark chapter 6 because they didn't have time for rest. Sometimes we got to get the rest and we have to have sleep. But there's the extremes. And that is to the lazy, people don't want to work, and to the other extreme, people are just workaholics, never having time for rest. There's a happy medium in there. And then notice verse 28, her family honors her, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, he praiseth her. To say, you've got a good woman. To say that you've made a good choice and you're thankful. A lot of people, I travel all over the place and people ask about my wife and say, well, she's doing pretty good. And I try to say, you know, I'm glad. I've got a good helpmeet, somebody that stands behind me for the work that I do in some of the travels and going abroad preaching. And she's to be praised. You get somebody that's sorry, I tell you, they'll pull you down. But when you have somebody that's a good helpmeet to honor her. In verse 29 it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Virtue is just a great word. It just conjures to the mind, it brings to the mind of great qualities of spiritual integrity, honesty, you know, godly, having the kind of qualities that we need to have. And this is involving the ABCs of womanhood. Notice verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The value of inward beauty. Nothing wrong with outward beauty. But beauty is only skin deep. And it passes in time. It fades. But inward beauty, it lasts on and on. And that's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, be concerned about the outward adorning. Don't be concerned about the outward adorning, the outward cosmetic. Be concerned about the inward adorning, or the inward cosmetic. Inward beauty, fearing the Lord. That ought to be the first consideration. That's what attracted me to want to date Kathy and ultimately get married, was the inward beauty. Of course, she's pretty on that side, but what's more important is the inward beauty. Somebody that fears God. Somebody that wants to go to heaven. Somebody that wants to try to do what's right. That's why it's so important to give first consideration to that, not just is she a nice-looking girl or vice versa, a nice-looking man. Question is, do they fear the Lord? That's more important. And then finally there in the ABCs of womanhood, it says, give her the fruit of her hand and let her own works praise her in the gates. That is, she's going to have a good reputation. Well, why is she going to have a good reputation? I think she's going to have a good reputation because she's a person that's willing to work. And has right answers, got her mind on straight. And what's her mind on? And that is serving the Lord, thinking about God, being God-fearing, being virtuous, being willing to sacrifice for her family and make good choices and having a good husband. It is what is described the ABCs of womanhood. Well, we extend the invitation. We sort of shift gears to then move into the discussion of the plan of salvation. Maybe there's one here that's never stepped out on God's promises to become a Christian. You could even this morning step out on God's plan of salvation to hear the gospel of Christ. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's where it begins. We hear the good news. We've got to believe in Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, that's what Paul first delivered unto the Corinthians. We've got to believe that. To repent and turn to God, Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you, next after you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We've got to make the turn in our heart. To confess Jesus before men, Acts 8, verse 37, just like the eunuch did when he confessed his faith before men, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. To be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we obey God's plan of salvation, obeying from the heart, that's when we become a Christian. When we come up out of the watery grave of baptism, God exhorts us, Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Just keep growing and serving the Lord. And then if we err as a Christian, we need to repent and ask God for forgiveness, as we see from Acts 8 and verse 22. Well, we're going to sing this song to your encouragement. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation to obey God's plan of salvation, God's plan of salvation. Did you hear me? God's plan of salvation. You could do so even today, while together as we stand and as we sing.